As I was thinking about where we're going with this morning's message, I was thinking about one of the places that I'd love to take my family on vacation. I would love to go to Hawaii. I'd love to just lay out on the beach. I'd love to just absorb all the waves, enjoy all the fun, check out all the recreation, all the great things that there is to enjoy in Hawaii. I was also thinking about the history that's in Hawaii. That's really what got me thinking about Hawaii. Hawaii has some incredible history, also has some tragic history, and it's one of those tragic pieces of history that we're going to be looking at this morning. This morning we're going to be looking at the events of Pearl Harbor. We've been talking about different shipwrecks that occur in life, and Pearl Harbor, it really does fit a definition of what a shipwreck is. We've looked at shipwrecks that have occurred out on the water, out at sea, but truly, Pearl Harbor, it's a shipwreck. It happened, though, when the ships were at port, when the ships were supposed to be safe. Just a quick history lesson. At this point in time, war had been raging in Europe for about 2 years, and during that time, the Allied forces, they had been really trying to urge the American forces to jump into the war. The Empire of Japan had also struck hands with the Nazis, and at that time, Japan really didn't have any hopes of invading America. One of their generals went so far as to say, we could march down Pennsylvania Avenue and still we would not capture America. The Japanese, they did know that. Here's what the Japanese wanted, though. They wanted the trade routes that were being hampered by the U.S. forces in the Pacific. In particular, they wanted the oil fields in the Dutch East Indies, and they wanted the tin and the rubber that they found in Malaysia. They also wanted the Philippines because the Philippines was a very strategic location. During that entire time of what America knew that they wanted, no one ever thought that they would attack Pearl Harbor. Right around the same time, the Japanese had even been in peace talks with Washington. Then in that surprise attack, they snuck up on America with five aircraft carriers, with 350 planes, with five submarines, with a protective ring of about 30 more battleships, and then they attacked America. Their greatest success lied in the victory, in the destruction that occurred at the Arizona. At that one ship that they destroyed, they killed about 1,000 service members, servicemen. And if they didn't die in the immediate attack, they died in the 3 days that followed. During that first attack, there was a torpedo that struck the ship and ignited about 1 million pounds of gunpowder. Because of that, those who didn't die in the initial attack died shortly after. The attack had also sank another four U.S. Navy battleships, damaged another four after that. Japanese also sank three cruisers, three destroyers, one mine layer, and they destroyed 188 aircraft. And in total, they killed about 2,400 service members, servicemen in that attack and injured over 1,200 more. Compare the American losses to the Japanese losses. The Japanese losses, they were very minimal. 29 aircraft, 5 midget submarines, and 65 servicemen were lost. Let's think about what happened. This is what I want to have us catch this morning. What happened? How did America, how did they find themselves in this situation? Really, they were caught by surprise. They had an enemy attack them that they never expected to attack them. They failed to recognize the resolve of the Japanese. Connect that to our spiritual lives. We have an enemy. The enemy is Satan. It's the devil. But so many don't understand or don't have respect or don't recognize that we have an enemy that's working against us. I love movie quotes. One of the movie quotes that I love, it goes something like this. The greatest trick that the devil ever did was to convince the world that he didn't exist. And as I thought about that quote, sad to say, so many people today don't recognize that there is a devil that's in this world that is working against us. As I thought about that idea, the other idea that I wanted to share was this. I don't want to encourage us to walk away from this place this morning thinking that there's a... Well, I guess I want to encourage us to recognize the devil in this world, But I don't want to encourage us to think that we can walk away from this place with an attitude of, I'm going to dance on the devil, I'm going to trample on the devil, that that's the mindset. I want to encourage us this morning to be aware that there's a devil who wants to destroy us, but to really remind us that there's a God who wants to lift us up and who wants to give us everything that we need so that we can withstand the schemes of the devil. I don't know what your attitude is to the idea that there's a devil in this world who wants to destroy us. Maybe you're one of those folks who thinks there isn't such a thing as the devil. I'll give you a scripture to hopefully change your mind, because we can't afford to be that naive. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It describes the devil as a lion who is prowling. And this prowling lion who wants to destroy us, he's got some weapons, and here's his weapons. He uses temptation, he uses accusation, and he uses lies. But here's the thing, this lion, this devil who wants to destroy us, he can't make us do what we don't want to do. We're the ones who bring about this act of sin in our lives. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, talks about how sin is waiting to destroy us. At the same time as there's this sin, this devil that's in this world that wants to destroy us, we need to be reminded that there is an even greater one, Jesus Christ, who's in this world who wants to lift us up. Got a couple ideas that I want to share with us this morning before we look at the passage that we're going to be looking at. Here's one of the ideas. So many people, I think, they look at this life as that this life is just a physical life, that there isn't this spiritual life that we find ourselves living in. Scripture, it affirms that there is a physical life, but also that there is a spiritual realm that we find ourselves living in. Ephesians chapter 6, that's what we're studying this morning. But right now, just look at verse 12 of this chapter. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We need to know that we live in a life that does have these dark forces that are working against us. Satan, he's gonna try to accuse us. He's gonna try to insult us. He's gonna try to build us down. He's gonna tempt us as well. I'll throw out to you a definition of temptation that I found that I really like. Temptation is to awaken within you a pre-existing tendency towards self-destructive behavior. We all are tempted in a number of ways, daily, probably hourly. But here's the thing. When temptation is before us, we have a choice. We can choose to give in to temptation, or we can choose to resist temptation. And when we do give in to temptation, we have no one to blame other than ourselves for having given in to temptation. James chapter 1, 14 to 15, it speaks to that end. It says, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So Satan, truly, we can't say that he is the one who makes us do wrong. What he does is he does this work of accusing, of lying, and of tempting us. And he accuses us. He does all these things constantly. He tells us lies constantly. The Bible describes him as the father of lies for that good reason. I think the devil even tells us things to kind of just beat us up a little bit more. He tells us things like, you're fat, you're ugly, you're useless, you're stupid, you don't have any good qualities. The devil tells us those things because the devil wants to beat us up, to make us to a place where we become even more vulnerable so that we are ready to be compromised. With all of that, though, we have a choice. We can listen to his lies, or we can listen to the truth of God. Last Sunday was Sanctity of Life Sunday. We had a guest here who shared a very strong pro-life message with us. I could have shared with you that morning this verse from Psalm chapter 139, verse 14. I think it's a great verse for us to hear right now. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. As we hear all the lies that Satan has for us, God has a truth of love. That is his attitude towards us. And if we look to anyone other than the person of Jesus Christ for that love,
we will be destroyed. That's what I hope that we hear this morning. Despite all that, God has a love for us. And in His love for us, He gives His children encouragement, and He gives us tools to keep us focused on His path for us.
That's what we're going to be looking at this morning from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 8. So if you've got your Bibles or if you want to look on the screen, here's Ephesians 6, 10 to 8. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the saints. My heart for us this morning is that as we looked at these words, that we would see a picture of all the good things that God wants to give each one of us. The equipment, the armor, so that when we find ourselves in this battle, in this spiritual battle, that we know that God is for us and that He has given us what we need for this life. This morning, as we look at this passage, here's my hope, here's my heart. I want to name 10 things that I found in this passage that come across to me as that encouragement from God, as those armor, those equipment that God has for us. If you study this passage on your own, you might find more than 10. You might. Here's the 10 that I want to name this morning. And I guess before I name these 10 this morning, this passage that we just looked at, when folks heard Paul's words back in these days, Paul uses this analogy. He's using this comparison of the armor that's found on a soldier. That was something that folks could definitely understand back in these days. They were very familiar with Roman soldiers coming through. They could very much understand what it meant that God was their armor, that they lived in this spiritual battle, and they could relate to the idea that they were in this spiritual realm as well as the physical realm, and that God wanted to be their presence with them. Here's the first thing that I want to mention this morning, the first idea that struck me. It's that this passage, it's encouraging us to be prepared for battle. Verses 10 to 11, they really work to that end. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. Back in Rome, during a time of battle, Roman soldiers, you know what they had to do? They had to stand their ground. They had to not retreat. And as long as they stood together on the land, as long as they were shoulder to shoulder, they were virtually invincible. Here's the message for us. Those soldiers, they had to be ready for battle. They had to stand together. Simply, I think the application of that theme for us is that God is encouraging us to be ready for whatever it is that's going to come our way. We might not even know what it is, but there's going to be struggles, temptations, there's going to be sin, there's going to be sickness. God is speaking to us. Be ready. These things are going to happen. Here's the second idea that I want to share with you. It's that we would know our enemy. That idea, that comes from verses 12 and 13. Here's 12 and 13 again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. You know, we might not know what's going to come our way, what dark moment is going to come into our lives. We might know what, might not know what that's going to be. But this passage, it's affirming that we know who is the cause of it. And the cause of sickness, of temptation, of all these struggles, the cause, it's Satan. He's the one who
who is responsible for these things that occur in our lives. Think about that idea, though. That idea that goes so contrary to what so many in this world think about. Who is responsible for sin? So many in this world, they don't even have a concept of evil. They don't even have a concept that there is an evil one who is working against them. And when something tragic does happen to them, who do they point the finger to? They point the finger at God. That's not what God's Word describes. The Bible describes us being alert to these moments and recognizing that in these moments, that God is for us. Here's the third idea that I want to share with us this morning from this passage. It's that Scripture teaches that we should pursue integrity and truth. First half of verse 14, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." The word truth, here it's meant for us to hear it as a word describing ethical and moral qualities that are supposed to be found in us. So the translation for our lives is this. If we speak, if we tell others that we have some morals, let's live by those morals. That's a way that we can stand firm as well. Here's the next idea. It comes from the second half of verse 14. It's to be a people who display righteousness with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate, that was the piece of armor that covered the chest, that protected the chest area, that incredibly vulnerable area, all the organs there. That was an incredible piece of armor. The righteousness that's spoken of in this passage. It's just like this integrity and truth idea. It's that this should be a key characteristic of us as we stand against the schemes of the devil. Here's the fifth one that I want to mention this morning. It's that we are encouraged to stand with confidence. You find that in verse 15. "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Think about soldiers. Soldiers, as they step out onto the battlefield back in these days and even today, they need to have the right thing on their feet. If they don't have the right thing on their feet, they're going to get attacked before they even get on the field. Scripture is teaching us that we should be ready so that when the attack does come, we can get into the fight. And I think there's a great connection here for us, that as we grow in Christ, we grow in this confidence that God wants to build inside of us so that we can stand in His confidence. Next idea that I want to share, it's to live by faith. I think we picked this up in verse 16. "In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." I think this is my favorite of all the 10 that we're looking at this morning. Here's the connection. Roman soldiers back in these days, the shield that they had was about 4 feet tall. It was made of wood. And on the outside of it, on the defensive side, it was covered in leather. When they would go to battle, they would get down somehow and hold their shield above them. They'd make their line, so you've got this one long shield. And right before they made the line, the shield on the leather side, it was just soaked in water. And here's why. As they're in battle, as they've got their shield above their head, the enemy is shooting arrows at them. And these arrows are on fire. So the fact that it's soaked in water, that was to extinguish these flaming arrows. Here's the connection for us. These soldiers, to hold that shield above their head, to wait for the arrows that are coming, that takes a lesson of faith. Here's a lesson of faith for us. God wants us to see that He is our shield, that He will defend us, that He will do that same work with the things that are going to come our way as far as temptation. Here's the next idea that I want to draw out this morning. It's to think like Christ. I think we picked this up in the first half of verse 17. It says, "Take the helmet of salvation." The helmet, just like the chest area, is an incredibly vulnerable area. And simply the connection for us is this, is if we have no head, we can't think. God's Word is describing us to think like Christ. Here's the next one. Comes from the second half of verse 17. "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." I think there's an encouragement there for us to be a people who rely on God's Word. The sword of the Spirit, it's equaled to God's Word. The sword, it's the only offensive weapon that's mentioned in this passage aside from prayer. The sword also, If you're in battle, the sword is a weapon that you use at close range. When you're in the thick of the fight, God's word is equal to it. That in the thick moments of life, that He wants us depending upon His word. He wants us depending upon His word all the time. Two more to go. First half of verse 18, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions." So I think you see that one pretty quickly. God's word is encouraging us to pray. No matter what the situation, no matter what the mess, if it's something with a neighbor down the street who's not happy with you, if it's the mess at work, if it's the relationships, if it's a sporting event, whatever it is, God is saying that we should go before Him and that we should pray. Here's the last one that I want to mention. It comes from the last half of verse 18. The theme I want to point out is to be alert and to keep going. Kind of like some of the other themes that we've seen here. You can also pick out from this these words also a theme of prayer. But I want to have us pay attention that God is trying to build in us an attitude of persistence. And that attitude of persistence, of relying on Him for that strength, that matches out with other places in which Paul writes, where he encourages the believers to run the race, to stay focused on the prize, and to fight the good fight. Think about what I've been trying to share with you this morning from this passage. I hope that you didn't hear me share this morning from the Word that if you do this, if you pray this way, if you fight this way, if you are persistent this way, that you will earn favor with God and that you will be saved. I hope you didn't hear me say it that way. I hope you heard me describe that these are the things that God gives to His children to equip them for this thing called life, to equip them for this fight. That these aren't the things that get us saved, that these are the things that are given to the one who is saved. I've got one last verse that I want to take us to. And as I was finishing up writing my notes, I thought, you know what, if I don't share this last verse, I think I do you a great disservice. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 and 57. It's a verse that you probably hear at a funeral. "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We were talking about Pearl Harbor when we began. Go back to the story of Pearl Harbor, the events of Pearl Harbor. Think about what the attitude was of so many people back when this happened. So many were just defeated. They were deflated. They thought, how could America have suffered such an attack? In the big picture of those events, though, think about what happened following the attack on Pearl Harbor. America did get in the war. Japan, they surrendered. The American fleet, it was rebuilt. Who got the victory in the end? Certainly, it wasn't Japan. Translate that to this verse here. Thank you to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing that I hope that we catch. We might walk through this world thinking, the devil is in this world. He's trying to defeat me. But Jesus on the cross, He defeated the devil once and for all. And the promise of God is that one day the devil will fall under the foot of God and he will be done with for good. And until that day, the devil, he's going to keep accusing us. He's going to keep lying to us. He's going to keep trying to lead us away. And until that day in which the devil is finally under the foot of God, God has given us, for those who are His children, in His Word, He's given us a defense system so that we can stand firm in front of the schemes that the devil is going to throw at us. I guess our prayer this morning as a church is that if there's anyone here who doesn't know Christ, who doesn't have an understanding of this defense system, we pray that you would. We pray that you would know Jesus Christ. And if you are one who does know Christ, we pray that this defense system that we find in God's Word, we pray that that is your anchor, that that is your hope, that you know that through the power of Jesus Christ, that God wants to walk with you and that He gives you all that you need for this life so that there is no such thing as a sneak attack that hits you.